So today is a good day to take communion because we do it in memory of Jesus and what he did. And of course, this is Memorial Day weekend, and there is no one else really that we should remember more than Jesus and what he did for us. With Jesus, Memorial Day isn't just in May, it's every day of the year. Because no one has given up that much as he did for us. You know, he left heaven to come down here for us and to save us. And with that, we give him glory. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is never missing an opportunity to give glory to God. Now, how many of you here know the Lord's Prayer? Okay, because we're going to go through it really quick. So for those of you that don't know it, it's up here on the screen. So, and don't worry about versions. You know, not going to get after you for a different word or different version. So, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So notice that last line, glory forever. So what does glory mean? So glory in the Greek is doxa. Doxa means praise, honor, glory, that which evokes a good opinion. Basically, it's giving God credit for everything that he does and has done, because he's done so much for us, more than we could ever count or even think. And there's the awesome thing about God is there's still more to come. It doesn't end. God just, he gives and he gives and he gives and he blesses. And it's not just in this life. It's for all eternity. There's more than we can count here. Now, today is the celebration of Pentecost. Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Let me back up. So on this day, you had a group of disciples were sitting there praying when all of a sudden, sound of wind just rushed through and tongues of fire appeared above them. And God poured his Holy Spirit out upon everyone there. And they just started talking in all kinds of languages, and they went out in the streets. And of course, Jerusalem was full of people for the celebration of Pentecost. And they heard these people talking in their own languages, and they're like, well, what's going on here? What is this? And of course, some mockers said, oh, don't worry about these Galileans, they're just drunk. Peter said, not this early. But he got up, and you know what he did? He started giving glory to God. In his first sermon, he just started giving all the glory to God. He told them, this is what Joel said would happen. God would pour out his Holy Spirit in the last days. This is what you're seeing. God gave us his son to save us. And he just goes on and on through this one act of giving glory to God. 3,000 people were saved. They gave themselves to Jesus right then. And 3,000 were added to the church, and it grew one big bump. What would have happened if Peter would have said, you know, whatever, it's fine. I'm sure it's just luck that this happened. Would anybody be saved? What happened to the church? It disintegrated. Yeah. So let's look at some of the ways that we give glory to God. Or reasons why we give glory to God. So the first reason is because he deserves it. So God has created everything. Now, when I say everything, I mean everything. Like everything you could think of has his own little fingerprint on it. It's right there. That goes all the way from like the galaxy as big as it is, every planet, every star, the whole cosmos, to even with one atom, the little protons and neutrons that are inside of it. He's created every single bit of that. And you may be like, wow, that's impressive. No. It's even more than that. You know, we have solar winds, we have cycles, we have all these things. He's created every bit of that. You know, he had a plan. He knew how to put everything together so perfectly. Bless you. So, I mean, at that point, we should be like, wow, God is just giving him glory. And that's what scripture says. You know, for by him, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Wow, I needed to run spell check on this. Whether thrones or dominions, all things, say all things. All things have been created through him and for him. Does that mean that we were created for him? Yeah. We talked about that last week. Next one. So the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. He's the owner. He created it. It's his. You know, if I were to build a house, it'd be my house, right? If I were to build a car, stay off the road, but it'd be my car. So also for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So right there it's saying for everything, we should be giving him glory. I mean, we can't even see all the things that he deserves the glory from. I mean, we have, you know, on the other side, there's going to be things. I mean, I imagine we're just going to be on our knees just going glory, glory, glory all the time. Because there's things we haven't even seen that we can't even conceive of. That's just going to just knock our socks off, right? You know, if we can't look on God right now and look on his glory because it'd kill us, just imagine everything you could see. So, next one. But it isn't just everything that he created. It's his miracles, the things that he's done. You know, this could be the parting of the Red Sea. You know, he parted it so well, they walked across on dry land. That's pretty good. Healings. Manna from heaven. Oh, you want some meat? Here's some quail. Water from rock. An axe head floating. And we talked about this morning, you're covered in leprosy? Go bathe in the river 7 times. You know, oh, look, it disappeared. Yes, living water. There's so many miracles. It just, you know, it kind of comes to the point that you can't stop from giving God glory. You just want to. You know, and like it says in Ephesians, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. We don't have the capability to comprehend the things that God can do to its fullest. We can't. According to the power that works within us, to him be the glory of the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So again, we give glory to God for that. If that isn't even enough to give him glory, look at his son. You know, we were all dead in our trespasses. By the law, we are all dead. We're all sinners. Any sin is death. That's the law right then and there. It's done. But yet, God had a way. His way was to send his son to this earth to die for us, to give us eternal life with him, to redeem us. You know, that, I mean, I thank him every day for that. I do, because when you know, I mean, and I'm sure you're like this too, because when you know where you were going to go and where you are now going, that you're just, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because there's nothing we could do to save ourselves. So we should give him all the glory. So then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne of the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory. Say glory. Thank you. Next one. And blessing and every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea, to all things and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory. Say glory. And dominion forever and ever. So all of heaven is saying glory to the Lamb. All of earth is saying glory to the Lamb. So we should be saying, excellent. Excellent. So what's the second reason? So the second reason to give God glory is because we were created to give him glory. You know, we talked last Sunday that we were created for fellowship with God. When you're, you know, you could think of it like a marriage. That's the best example. Or just being best friends. That's another example. Mm-hmm. Like father. But when you do that, you know, if you think about it, when you really love someone, you put them up above yourself, right? So you give them the glory. That's what we're created to do. We're created to give God glory. And it's not just one time a day. It's not just two times a day. You know, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all, say all to the glory of God. That's so everything. I mean, you know, like we were talking about, there's always something to give God glory for. Beautiful sunshine, the flowers coming up, the garden's growing. You know, he does so much, and we should be giving him that glory. Next one. And go. Okay. There we go. So ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. So if you remember, we come into his courts with thanksgiving. That's part of it. We come in with thanksgiving. We give him glory. The more glory you give God, the stronger your connection with him is. You know, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what does that mean? That means the more we're with God, the more we become like him. We're being transformed from glory to glory. So his glory is rubbing off of him. And this is so true, because when you start giving glory to God, you'll start loving him. When you start loving him, you'll actually draw closer to him. The closer you draw to him, the more you'll grow in your relationship with him. The more you grow in your relationship with him, the more that you love him and want to give him glory. And it's a completely increasing cycle. You give him glory. You love him. You draw closer to him. You draw closer to him. You want to love him more. You want to love him more. You give him more glory. You give him more glory. He draws you even closer. You get closer. You want to love him even more. And you just can't stop. And you just go and go and go like the Energizer Bunny. Yep. That's the type of relationship we want with God, is that kind. Next one. So another reason to never miss an opportunity to give glory to God, because guess what? Not only does he deserve it, not only should we give it to him for everything he's done, he also blesses us for it. I know that may seem hard to understand, but he does. For those who honor me, I honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. You know, I've actually got to experience this. This is awesome. It's not something I can put into words, you know, it's not like astrophysics, but it is true. When you honor God, God will honor you. He does it in many ways. He will bless you. Things will just happen. He'll open doors for you that were closed. You know, he'll fill you with his joy. He'll fill you with his peace. He'll fill you with his love. He will just bless you for it. He does it for one simple reason. He does it because you at that moment have loved him. You've done an act of love, because you can say, I love God, and you can talk the talk, but if you're not walking the walk, there's no point to it. by doing this, you're actually humbling yourself and raising him up. And that's what he loves, because you're doing it in front of a crowd of witnesses usually, or you're at least doing it to yourself. God, I know you did this for me. Thank you. You know, I just thank you for this. You know, and when you give glory to God, it doesn't have to be some big, long speech and up and down. I mean, it's just, thank you, God. You did this. It's giving him the rightful glory that he deserves for what he did. And it's just slipping his name in every once in a while. It's just, you know, like at work, and I've had to rework this, but I always try to say God willing instead of, well, if we're lucky, or it'll be, if somebody says, wow, that was pretty cool, what happened? I'll say, well, that was God's blessing. Or that was God who did that. I always try to give him the credit, and he has been faithful and true, and he has blessed me through it. And he will always bless, always. So going along with the blessings, there's some curses. So what can happen when you try to steal the glory that God deserves for yourself? Now, just as a test here really quick, so how many of you have created a planet? Don't be shy, just how many? None? Okay, we'll make it a little easier. How about a tree? How many of you have created a tree? You said, you know, let a tree come forth from the ground. Anyone? Come on. Well, but this is the thing. None of us can do that. That only belongs to God. But yet there's some through history who have tried to steal some of the glory that goes to him, is rightfully his. First one we're going to talk about is Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. And during this time, Babylon was this big empire. It was the top of the world. It ruled over other nations. Nebuchadnezzar was its king. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, one night he's just strolling through his palace. He's just like, wow, look at all of this that I have created. Yeah, that's not good. Because God comes to him and says, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, this ain't going to go well for you. So instead of giving God the glory, God just like, okay, here's your punishment. So for 7 seasons, you're going to be like the beast of the field. Your hair is going to grow long. Your nails are going to grow long. And you're just going to wander around with the dew of the morning upon you until you know that the God Most High is God, and that he gives the kingdom to whoever he wishes it to give it to. And then after 7 seasons, guess what? Nebuchadnezzar was like, oh, thank you. Glory to God. And he gave glory to God. That was a pretty light punishment. So let's talk about Herod Agrippa. This is King Herod Agrippa I. So he was in Caesarea attending a festival. And he wore this garment that was like pure silver, just to impress everybody. And he was a Jew. He knew who God was. And everybody saw the light shining off of his garment, and they were like, wow, you must be God. And then when he spoke, they were like, oh, this is not the voice of a man, but the voice of a God that speaks. Herod Agrippa was just like, yep, that's right. So God, at that point, yeah, that wasn't good for Herod either, because an angel smote him. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God. He knew better. He knew who God was, and he was technically supposed to be worshiping God as a Jew, but he didn't give him the glory. And what happened was he was eaten by worms and died. This is a very bad death. This is not a fun way to die. There's no fun ways to die. I guess I should, that's my disclaimer. There's no fun ways to die. But this is very bad because you're eaten from the inside out by worms. You're in incredible pain for days until you finally just croak. But that was God's punishment for Herod, for taking the glory that was rightfully his. So what's another reason to give God the glory? So we're going to talk about the luck demon. Now, probably none of you have heard of the luck demon. But in this world, in all creation, there's only two options, God or Satan. There's no third world. There's no third option called the world. It doesn't exist. It's God or Satan. That's your choice. So if you choose God, it goes to God. But if you don't choose God, then it goes automatically to Satan. So one thing that Satan's done is he's created this idea that there's luck or chance. There's so many different names, but it's the same demon. It's basically trying to get you to say that, oh yeah, you know, that was just luck that, you know, that car missed me this morning and I didn't get in an accident. It was of course by chance that I happened to get this pay raise in my job. You know, you're not giving God glory to God who rightfully deserves it because he did all those things. You know, when we say that we're lucky or that it's fate, that's all going to Satan, you know? And of course, again, in the words of the ancient English philosopher Yoda, you know, we must unlearn what we have learned and we have to give God glory. Always don't. You know, this is something that God's really had me working on this year. And again, it opens doors. It really does. You know, I'll have like something happen, be talking to my coworkers at work and I'll be like, oh, wow, you're lucky. No, that was God. That was God that did that. And the nice thing is the way God uses this sometimes, which we're going to talk about here in a second, is it truly open doors, especially when they cannot explain it. But it also starts getting them into that mindset of God. You know, you just start putting God out there. You know, well, if we're lucky today, we'll get this pipe put in and get the job done. No, God willing, we'll get the pipe put in and get this job done. You know, well, it'll be lucky if we can finish this week. No, God willing, we'll finish it this week. I'm sure my coworkers are highly annoyed with me, but it is a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Which leads us to the next reason, which is because we can use it to witness to others. And this is so amazing because God really does open doors. Doors that are completely shut. And it brings, you get a witness to people, tell them about God, and it brings them closer to him. You know, because one thing is that they cannot deny what has happened. So it goes back to what Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So just give you two examples really quick. So at work, I was out. I like to hike railroad grades. Took my lunch break. I was out hiking a railroad grade. Found this massive elk skull. Big old rack. Huge rack. In pristine condition. And I knew that God put it there for me because who else would be stupid enough to hike an old railroad grade in that spot but me? So took a picture of it, showed my coworkers, and they said the same thing. Wow, you are really lucky to find that. Like, no, this was God. Told them the same thing. Who else would have put it there for me but him? Oh, well, you know, I don't know. That's really like, no, that's God. The one thing that they could not comprehend, which was funny watching their eyes work as they were trying to figure it out, that skull had not been touched by any animal. The antlers, nothing, had any nibble marks. The color was absolutely beautiful in it. Absolutely perfect. They could not fathom how that happened. And I know that that's why God put that there and kept it there. And one of the great things was There was a gal there who was absolutely full of bitterness, just completely consumed by it. She left to go back to the Midwest. Before she left, I got to witness to her and try to lead her to Christ. That would not have happened if it wasn't for this, because she could not rectify how I came across that skull in the first place, how that skull was perfectly intact. There was something else at work. And that's how that door came open. So I was able, through that little opening, to just take a whole handful of seeds and just kind of scatter them in there as best I can. So another example, another sadly bitterness-filled coworker of mine, he's an equipment operator. He left the backhoe parked up in the East Foley area, which is north of here. And of course, thieves drained the diesel out of it. And he went to start it, started up, and it ran for just a little bit. He saw that the gauge said empty, so he tried to get it up on the tilt bed to bring it back, and it ran out of diesel. When you run a car out or a gasoline engine out of gas, not so bad. When you run a diesel engine out of diesel, very bad. And it can be very expensive. So he called dispatch to have his pickup brought up there, which had a porta tank full of diesel. So I volunteered to take it up there and found him, parked next to him. He started putting diesel in the backhoe. After a little bit, he stopped it and hung the nozzle up, got in the backhoe, tried to start it. It cranked and cranked and cranked and cranked and cranked and cranked, would not start. And it got to the point where the battery was just about dead, because like, I was just trying to go. And he's like, well, guess I'm going to have to jump this thing. So he started getting tools ready, because on heavy equipment, to protect from thieves, they have batteries in boxes that are bolted down. So he was starting to get ready, and I was just like, oh God, please, please let it start. Please let it start. And I just felt this go. So I was like, okay. So I hopped up in the backhoe. First time it started right up. He's like, if I would have had a camera for his face, that was the best part of it. He's like, give it some gas. So I was like, and throttled it up. And he's like, whoa, he grabbed the nozzle and he started putting more diesel in it. And he's like, he asked me, how did you do that? And I said, well, I didn't. That was God. I can't start this backhoe. That was God. It's like, well, no, I must have made it easy for you. And I was like, no, that was God. Well, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, no, that was truly God. It's like, but how? And I said, it's very simple. I said a little prayer before I got up in the backhoe. I said, don't underestimate the power of prayer. So this gentleman, again, full of bitterness, at that point, it was cool because I got to watch his heart just. He told me this story. He told me the story where he's working for an outfit and he's riding on a piece of equipment with a very long drop off on the outside edge of the road. As he's holding on, looking at that, he started praying. And the person who was driving the equipment started mocking him for praying. And that's when he kind of gave up on it. But he could not rectify how that backhoe started. It blew his mind. And it was cool because that was just a couple weeks ago. In those couple weeks, I got to see a little bit of change in him. Just a little bit. And of course, I pray for him all the time too. So, yes, God, keep bringing him. So, but that's why you should never miss an opportunity to give glory to God, because it's things like those. You know, it might be that moment that's when they finally get to see God in action and go, yes, I want that. I want that for myself. So the last reason we're going to look at today is because we love God, which is the biggest reason. Now, if you remember last week, we talked about, you know, we talked about never miss an opportunity to love someone, especially God. It's the same thing here, you know, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You know, last week we talked about, you know, the fact that there's no love yourself. That's no, there's no part of that here, because the opposite of love is selfishness. So you can't have love if you're loving yourself. And that's why we are supposed to love God first, because he is deserving of all love. He deserves it. I mean, he created each and every one of us. Every breath we take, every heartbeat is something that he has given us. You know, it may not seem important to us and we take it for granted, but nonetheless, it is true. That is a blessing from him. And then after God, then we love everybody else. And when you love someone, again, you are exalting them up. You're lifting them up above yourself. You're putting yourself down to put them up. And that's what we do when we give God glory, is we lift him up above ourselves. And we just give him that. And like we talked about before, it's this perpetually increasing cycle of glory, love, relationship. Glory, love, relationship. It just keeps increasing every time. You know, the reasons we don't give God, one of the main reasons we don't give God glory is because of pride. We have that little prideful self inside of us that goes, no, I want it for me. Mine. I did it. It happened to me. But we got to put that to death. It needs to be killed. Because unless it's killed, that you won't ever give God glory. It's not going to happen, because it'll be all about you. But that's not why we were created. We were created to make it all about God. That's who it's all about, is God. This isn't our world. This isn't our universe. You know, God created it all for us. So it's all about him. Oh, next one. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So God raised him up for his own glory and gave him glory. That's, again, God gives glory. He loves. That's who he is. Next one. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God the Father gives glory to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. God the Son gives glory to the Father and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives glory to God the Father and God the Son. They give glory everywhere to one another. They can't help it. That's what love is. That's what love does. It gives that, it's giving glory. So what about the angels? Do the angels give God glory? Okay. So glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. In the highest. Okay, what about those who've come before us? Do they give God glory? Did Abraham glorify God? What about Isaac? David? Paul? Silas? Yes, every one of them did. Each and every one of them did. And you know what? If they did that, why can't we? Why, again, we need to be able to do this. And also, God has given us glory. Next one. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. That's what Jesus said. So that by giving glory, we can be one. Through that love, we're one. Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us for the glory of God. So he accepted us and gave us glory. Just for the glory of the Father and because he loves us. Next one. And again, for those who came before us, so without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. This is Abraham, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised. Next one. He was able to perform. And again, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ be the glory forever. Amen. So, you know, we talked about pride. We need to put it to death. We need to give God glory. That's what we need to do. Next one. And again, actions speak louder than words. You know, we talked about this as well. Every time that we give God glory, we say, I love you. You know, this isn't just lip service, but it's from the heart. By doing this, we're putting ourselves down for our love for him. And this is also basically worship. And worship is just love expressed. Next one. So there is, in conclusion, there is always something to give God glory for. Always. You can't hold the praise in. You know, you can ask Pastor Brad when I call him up and say, guess what God did for me today? I think he's got me blocked now. But, or it's coming pretty soon. Because it's just amazing. When God does something amazing in your life, you just want to tell other people about it. You want to spread the word. Guess what God did? You want to share in that. You know, and finally going along with that is his saving grace. You know, if you can't find anything else, be it the sun, the breath that you have, the life that you have, the fact that he gave his son is the one thing that you can hold on to. The one thing that you can give glory to. So I asked the worship team to come up, and I'm going to be standing down here. And if you want to tell me something God has done for you, please come up and tell me. If you want help in finding glory to give him, I can help you with that. Or if you just want to come to know Jesus for the things that he's done, if you just heard about him now and you're like, what's this he's done for me? What glory should I be giving him? Please come up here. I'll be up front here with you. So.